While cameras were focused on DACA yesterday, another congressional battle was playing out, but with much less attention. Five senators, three Democrats and two Republicans, tried to filibuster the reauthorization of the FISA Amendments Reauthorization Act of 2017. FISA, if you'll remember, is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, originally written in 1978. It was updated in 2008 with Section 702, the part filibustering senators were particularly concerned with, that allows U.S. intelligence agencies to spy on any foreigner outside the U.S. without a warrant. The filibuster ultimately failed, though, to the disappointment of civil liberties groups, and a full vote on the bill is expected next week. Our next guest is here to explain Section 702. And we'll talk about the controversy surrounding its reauthorization. Professor Robert F. Turner is the co-founder of the University of Virginia Law School's Center for National Security Law. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
So can you start by telling us exactly what is Section 702 here?
Yes, Section 702 was added in the amendments of 2008, and it pretends to authorize the president to collect intelligence, essentially wiretap in old language, foreigners who are not U.S. persons or U.S. citizens, that is, foreigners located outside this country. I say it ostensibly, or it pretends to authorize, because it is absolutely clear the president already has this authority. This goes back to even before we had a constitution that abates on the proper role of the president and Congress in intelligence. The Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the Fourth Amendment does not apply to foreigners outside this country. So a lot of this, I think, is just a misunderstanding of the existing law.
Right. And you've testified in front of Congress in the past that the partisan divide over the lawful right to record conversations secretly is despicable, is what you said. So this attempted filibuster, though, was a bipartisan effort. So I wonder, do you think that the tide of public opinion here is turning against this type of surveillance?
Well, I think there's a lot of public concern about it, but it's largely based upon ignorance. It's very much like the collection of telephony metadata, which you may remember was a big controversy some years back, mm-hmm. When people were told the government is spying on millions of Americans in violation of the Fourth Amendment. And of course, we don't want our government to violate the Bill of Rights. So we don't want the government to spy on millions. In reality, that program in the year 2012, the National Security Agency searched 288 phone numbers known to be used by foreign terrorists to see if they'd been talking to people in this country. All they were capturing were the dates, the times, and the duration, and what phone number talked to what phone number. Not a word of conversation, and this has been upheld as legal time and again. This is an issue. I worked on FISA as a Senate staff member in 1978 when it was enacted. I told my senator I thought it was unconstitutional then. I later wrote a 1,700-page doctoral dissertation that dealt heavily with this area of national security law. And I just don't see an issue here, but I see a lot of ignorance and a lot of worrying. I see Fox News saying, "Oh, the intelligence community has become part of the Democratic Party or whatever." I spent from 1981 to 1984 as the counsel to something called the President's Intelligence Oversight Board in the White House, where my job was to, among other things, oversee the implementation of FISA. And I can tell you, the people at NSA are good people trying very hard to protect this country. And they're the concern is everybody basically that understands the issues. There are an awful lot of people spouting off mm-hmm. on this that couldn't spell FISA. But the people that know about it acknowledge that, yes, it's lawful to collect intelligence.
Right, but some could argue that our laws haven't really caught up with our technology here, and that surveillance techniques are moving faster than these systemic checks and balances that we might have. Yeah. What's your response to that?
Well, I agree with you. There are changes, and it may well be that the Congress or the courts will need to draw some lines determining, exactly how the Fourth Amendment interfaces with things like smartphones and so forth. We've already had some cases dealing with using GPS trackers, for example. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about here is classic stuff. It's just collecting what phone number talked to what phone number, and that was upheld by the Supreme Court in 1979 in Smith versus Maryland in a criminal case. Now, another key point here is the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between Fourth Amendment cases involving criminal enforcement and what they call special needs or public safety cases that are not primarily criminal investigations. For example, every time your listeners go to a commercial airport to fly a plane, they can be virtually strip searched by TSA without the slightest probable cause or individualized suspicion. And every court to consider this has held that's a lawful search, because the Supreme Court test, when it's not a criminal search, is to balance the public interest and the private interest, And the court has repeatedly says no governmental interest is of more importance than national security. And
we'll have to
leave
it there.
The concern is...
Well, sorry, okay. Mr. Turner, we'll have
Thanks
to leave
so
it there.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Bye-bye.